The Mass Marauder Matinee is a fresh new venue providing original audio adventures to download and chapter-based web serials to read for free. So get your tickets and find your seat, because the curtain goes up when you push play. Today's feature, Commander Knight of Knight Incorporated.
"Hello there," Mac heard the commander say as he neared the first crashed automobile. Then suddenly gunfire, echoing like thunderclaps inside the parking garage, erupted from the accident scene. "Take cover, kid," Mac shoved Connor to the cement floor, just inside the valet station. Pulling down the phone from its perch, Mac shoved it at Connor without instructions. He trusted the long-standing employee to know how to call for help. After all, Commander Knight and Knight Incorporated occupied the top three floors of the central tower here at the Tiers. This was hardly the first time the commander and Mac had been shot at inside or around the hotel. The three automobiles, two sedans and a pickup truck, had crashed in a roughly triangular configuration, blocking the VIP parking strips from the exit. As the commander got close enough to notice what was going on, men piled out of each vehicle. Utility box from the truck was opened, weapons dispersed. They gleamed matte black in the moonlight and the lightning strikes. The driver of the left sedan fired first, as his driver's side door, no longer able to close properly, flopped open with a jarring of metal, and the man struck his pistol out. Three quick shots, followed by more as the others took their cue. The commander dove behind the closest sedan. Bullets ripped through the car's top and shredded the interior, causing white puffs of seat stuffing to fly out of the smashed windows. Leaving Connor's side, Mac pulled the .380 Savage from his left ankle holster. Crouching, he moved around the accident to set up a flanking position to cover the commander. In one fluid motion, the commander picked the sedan he used for cover up off the ground and held it in the air at chest height. Armed goons flinched and ducked for cover once the sedan was lifted off the ground. Pistol fire slowed down and the commander could tell the bullets were flying in wild trajectories as they were no longer being aimed by the assailants. Mac used the distraction to move in closer. The commander pulled the spare tire from beneath the sedan with his right hand and flung it at the man firing on his left side. The man was taken to the pavement with a wet thud. As the sedan dropped and bound on the wet concrete, it made a loud crash as the trunk lid was ripped off its hinges. The commander braced it against his left arm like a shield and bolted over the sedan deeper into danger, bullets impacting the trunk lid as he charged forward toward the man on his right. Mac heard the man's first pistol click empty just as the commander was on top of him. The second pistol didn't have a chance to spit any more of its lead. Mac couldn't see any longer from his current position, but he recognized the familiar sounds of a street fight. The makeshift shield hit the pavement, followed by the second man's a moment later. Mac spun around the large station wagon that he'd clung to for cover and drew down on the third member of the shooting party. This man behind the pickup truck had apparently abandoned his pistol in favor of something with a bit more kick as he slapped a circular magazine into the bottom of a Tommy gun and prepared to spin around and fire on the commander. "Drop it, bud." Mac waited, but was fairly certain what would happen. The man with the Tommy gun flinched as he wanted to look at the fight between the commander and his compatriot, but he managed to stop himself just before looking away. Mac's focus stayed true. The man with the Tommy gun figured this was his best shot, assuming Mac would be off guard for a second, just as he had been. He spun and drew the big machine gun down on Mac. Mac fired a single shot from his .380 Savage that sent the Tommy gun and the man to the pavement. "Damn," Mac said out loud, and moved toward the body, kicking the Tommy gun out of reach. "Mac," the commander called out. "I'm good, Commander. You climb behind the wheel. We've wasted too much time already." The commander picked up and dragged the sedan without a trunk lid 90 degrees, effectively clearing it from the truck and the other car. With a shove, he caused it to roll over on its top and slide into the station wagon Mac had used for cover just moments before. Mac topped over the side of the Crimson Cruiser, which had been backed in as requested when they first left with Connor. and climbed behind the wheel. With a turn of its key, the engine roared to life within the parking garage. After a brief check of the instruments on the dash, Mac witnessed the commander pick up the rear of the pickup truck and roll it safely out of the way of the Crimson Cruiser. Mac pulled the cruiser out into the aisle, and the commander opened the door to the passenger side of the cruiser, signifying the continuation of their mission. "Tell the authorities we'll be back to make a statement later, Connor," the commander's voice boomed into the parking garage as he climbed into the cruiser. Mac shot out of the entrance and skidded to the street before heading west down 108th on the hail slick pavement and prevailing winds before the commander even had the door closed all the way. "Good, you activated the dash tracker, Mac. They won't get away again." The commander stared squarely ahead with a look of steely determination on his iron jaw. Mac had seen it before and knew better to ask any more questions. He focused on maneuvering through the traffic. When they passed the deli he'd been headed for earlier, he realized he'd lost his appetite for any food at all. What he'd really craved all along, Mac thought, was justice. And if this night continued the way it had started, he'd get his fill soon enough.